Hey, this is Johnny Jet, and this is my 39 travel questions. And today we have Bruce Poon Tip, who is the founder of G Adventures, which is a small group adventure travel company. And he's written a lot of books. Like, how many books you've written? At least two.
Three. Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you speak around the world. I know we've spoken at some of the same conferences. The only time that I think that we really ever met was that actually courtside at the Toronto Raptors New York Knicks game.
Yeah,
you're a big Raptors fan.
I'm a big Raptors fan.
You're always courtside.
At the moment. I'm even bigger at the moment since we're the reigning champions for the next couple weeks, anyways.
I know. Well, listen, my wife's Canadian from Toronto, and that was my first Raptors game. Although I'm a Knicks fan, that's why I was at the game, and it was when Jeremy Lin was like the most famous person in the world that week. Yeah. It was great to meet you, and thanks for coming on. So,
thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell me quickly about G Adventures. When did you start it?
I started way back 30 years ago, 1990. It seems like ages ago. Well, actually, it was ages ago, I guess. We're the largest small group adventure holiday company in the world now. So, we have operations in 100 countries. We take almost like over 250,000 people traveling on small group adventures all over the world every year.
So are you on groups right now? Are there tours going out right now?
No. Well, we're all in, like, the travel industry is in hibernation, as you know. We have our first trips going out in September. So I think we have 21 trips that are going out in December at the moment.
In September or December?
Sorry, September.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that to actually get, and we're some early adopters that are still willing to take their trips. We're going to have a little bit more than that probably for October. We're hoping to have a little more, like really the last couple months and early next year, start getting some reasonable numbers.
Are the tours changing at all? Are they becoming smaller? Are they becoming just more family oriented? Or how is that working?
Well, we do have, travel with confidence programs now, 37 of our tours, which are socially distant, smaller groups. Like hotels that aren't, hotel rooms,
high rises,
first three floors, so you don't have to take elevators,
right?
Sanitation kind of, and disinfecting vehicles, larger vehicles, so you don't have to sit beside somebody.
That's good. How many people are on the tours?
Well, right now we're our max group size for the short term is 12.
Okay.
We've gone down to 12 to keep the groups really small. We're working with, local businesses as well, because, everyone has rules locally as well for distancing, which is whether it's restaurants or museums or attractions, tickets now to get into things are timed in a lot of cases. And so we're working with that through all of our itineraries. But we're getting people to start traveling just a bit right now. Our hope is in the last couple of months, we'll get a bit more early next year.
And are those tours going to be in North America, Europe, Asia?
Mainly Europe. We're getting some into Asia at the moment. I mean, it changes all the time, right? Like Europe just, took a few steps back. What people are really concerned at the moment about is having to quarantine when they get home. There's a lot of people that are willing to travel right now, but they're not willing to take that additional time of quarantining when they get back. So that's what we're facing right now. So
I actually just wrote about it this morning because the CDC in America has now said that, they've now taken off the requirement of 14 days. You have to just follow local laws. There's no national mandate, which is a little crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, and so like the UK was a big one. They had a 14-day quarantine, which they removed and then recently reintroduced for Spain and France. So. Right. That's just going to be a fluid situation that we're all going to have to deal with.
Right.
Italy was, and Spain specifically are two big European destinations for Europeans. And so there was actually quite a buildup of people booking travel this summer. And now that's taken a step back again. It was handled too is very difficult because it's very last minute. There's no kind of warning and it scares people, right? It makes people nervous.
For
once
sure.
You got their confidence again, it makes them nervous again.
They got to adapt. It's kind of like the Major League Baseball, where if one team has COVID and they cancel it, they might send that other team to another city to play.
Yeah, yeah.
But so let's get started. So, by the way, where were you born?
I was born in Trinidad in the Caribbean on the equator.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah. But very young. I was three when I moved to Canada, to Calgary in Alberta. So I was very young. So I grew up in Calgary and in Canada.
Well, I've been to Trinidad and Tobago. My wife's family's from Guyana, but my wife was born in Canada. Grew up in Toronto, Mississauga area.
Guyana's a great place. So Guyana's has great schools. So a lot of my cousins went to Guyana for school.
Interesting.
Yeah, private schools there.
And now you live in?
Toronto.
You live in Toronto.
And I'm grounded. Yeah. In 5 months, I've been on a flight, which has been a shocking reality for me, given I don't think I've ever been on the ground for 5 months in a row.
Yeah, I've never been on the ground. I think the longest I've been on the ground for a month, and I haven't been on a plane since February, and today is August 25th, 2020. Yeah, yeah. So how many countries do you think you've been to?
I know exactly, actually. I have an app that tracks it. I've been to 154 countries.
154?
Yeah. But wow. It's funny because I haven't been to a new one in many years. Like I obviously travel a lot, but I go to a lot of countries that I've been to before, but I haven't been to a new one in a very long time.
And what app do you use? Where I've been or?
It's called Bean. Yeah. B-E-E-N. Bean.
Bean.
Yeah. It's an easy app. It just to track.
And are they counting like Hawaii as a country or Puerto Rico or how does that work?
No. They call it. Part of it does, they actually have a separate tracker for the US in the app. So it actually tracks the amount of states you've been in.
Gotcha.
But it's UN countries.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. What about you? Do you know how many countries you've been to?
You know, I need to do that app. I think I've been to, depending on the UN, I think I'm about 70 or 80.
Okay. Right.
So actually I've been meaning to sit down and do it. So.
Yeah. Bean is a very good one. Because it's just very easy. There's a lot more complicated ones. But this one's it's just for my own kind of personal.
But like I counted Macau and Hong Kong as countries, although that should be just China now.
Yeah, it is now. I think that was changed though, because Hong Kong and Macau was a country.
Yeah, they were still run like Portuguese and England, but now they're China. But
yeah, Vatican City, all these ones are recognized as countries.
So how many continents you've been to?
I've been to every continent. The seven, a boy. All of them. Yeah.
And how many times you've been?
Actually, 1 year I went to every continent in a year. That is a record.
That is. So
there was 1 year where I did all continents within a 1 year period.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And how's Antarctica?
It's beautiful. It's I consider it one of the last wild frontiers. It's a spectacular place, really well regulated to keep it pristine. In my older years, I'm really attracted to wild open spaces like that, like Mongolia, Antarctica, Galapagos, places like that. And Antarctica is one of the best.
Well, especially during quarantine and COVID, I think people are really looking for that. And so did you go to college?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
Calgary, Mount Royal.
And what'd you study?
Well, I started business, but then I went over to college over to study tourism. So I originally was in the business program, and within the first few months, I transferred over to tourism.
And would you fly tomorrow? I mean, are you comfortable flying or what?
Yes, I would. I absolutely would if I didn't have to quarantine on my way back. I mean, that's my big thing. Or quarantine when I get there. So, I already flew in the quarantine, but when the pandemic started to escalate, I was actually in Barbados at the time. And so as countries started shutting down and borders started shutting, I decided, because I have elderly parents and in-laws, that we had to come back, or else I'd have just stayed there actually to quarantine, to be honest. Because at the time we actually thought it was going to be just like a couple weeks or maybe a month, but no one thought it would be 5 months. So we came back. It was kind of late. It was like the 24th or 25th of March that I flew back from Barbados. And as soon as they lift quarantines, I'm gonna get mobile again.
Okay. Sure. I'm glad to hear that. What's your earliest travel memory?
My earliest travel memory is actually camping trips. So we're an immigrant family here in Canada. My parents moved here to Canada with seven kids. So I remember our early trips out to BC, British Columbia. Camping trips, and so camping was totally new for us. Like we'd never done it coming from Trinidad, and my parents wanted, you know, to give us the, you know, the Canadian experience, and they wanted to be good immigrants by integrating with local culture. And we used to go on these camping trips, and we eventually, like, and because it was also expensive to travel with seven kids, but it was also obviously financially doable for us. But and then we eventually went from camping to getting a trailer and you know, seeing parts of Alberta and BC. And I remember those family vacations. Oh. And then other than that, I think younger, flying back, going back to Jamaica and Trinidad, where my family's from.
So how old were you when you moved to Canada?
3.
Okay, so, but yeah, you don't really remember, you know, being shocked with the cold.
No, but it was a thing for sure, because we came in March into Calgary, and my parents didn't do their research, I don't think, about this whole winter thing. I think it was quite a shock for the family. There's all kinds of family stories about that.
But I always tell my in-laws, like, how did you go from Guyana, where it's hot and sunny, to freezing cold Canada in the wintertime?
Yeah. And the idea, like, there's stories in my family about the concept of shoveling snow. Like, this idea that you buy this humongous shovel to push snow off your driveway. It was there's so many pictures of us, like, as little kids trying, you know, shoveling, because there's so much snow. But right, the idea is so foreign
is fun. I mean, I grew up in the snow in Connecticut, so I mean, I loved shoveling snow, but
I love change of seasons. I've grown up here, and I love now change of seasons.
Yeah, I like to visit them. I don't like to live in them. So do you have a favorite American city?
I do. I have a few. I've got a couple, actually. My two favorites are San Diego and Portland.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I love both those cities. Those are two cities that I could live in.
Okay.
I would say.
Awesome.
But I mean, visiting, I mean, like New York, Miami, I mean, those are great cities. We are, our main headquarters in the U.S. is in Boston, and Boston's an amazing city.
It is. Yeah. How about internationally? Do you have a favorite city?
Many. Like, I like Hanoi. I like Cusco. I like Marrakesh. European. My favorite city is Barcelona. I love Barcelona. I think that is my favorite city in the world. And like, again, there's a difference between visiting and Barcelona I could live in. Those are different things, right?
Right. With Barcelona, you know, I always hear about people getting mugged. Have you been mugged there?
No, I have not been mugged there. You can get mugged anywhere. The only place I've ever been mugged is I've been mugged once. It was in New York.
Was it?
Yes. So
I was mugged anywhere.
Yeah, I mean Rio, Mexico City, these are all, you know, dangerous cities, but
for sure.
I mean, when you think about Houston, Chicago.
I've been to Barcelona many times. I've never been mugged, but I have a bunch of friends, including one of my writers who did get it.
But did you even feel threatened? Did you feel unsafe when you were there?
No.
I've never actually felt that even.
So. Never felt it in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So
great city.
But again, my friend, my writer who did it, she was up at 5 a.m. and she had a bunch of luggage. So, and she didn't call a cab. So, I mean, there's some precautions you need to take around the world. Anywhere. Especially in the States.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which country do you think has the friendliest people in the world?
The friendliest? I'm going to go with Vietnam. I think the people in Vietnam are incredibly friendly. And they're especially friendly to travelers.
Right.
And I don't know. I think Thailand is very friendly as well.
Right.
But for some reason, I find the Vietnamese especially welcoming and friendly, and especially people traveling with kids or younger people. They love families. And
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. How about, which country do you think has the meanest immigration officers?
I would say, gosh, I'm gonna go with South Africa. I find that when I go to South Africa, there's this added tension with going through, and their visa, like you have to get that, like, landed, you know, some countries don't give visas in advance. You have to get them while you're there, and it adds complications, and there's way too many forms to fill out. And I find it to be more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah. You know, I've only been once and I don't even remember.
Which city did you fly into?
We flew to Joburg, and then I flew to Cape Town, and I flew around the country, but we flew from the States, actually from Senegal, I flew to Johannesburg.
Yeah, well, and that's also a very good point in terms of difficult coming in, because it's by airport. If it's different when you travel overland between countries, because it's a completely different setup for immigration sure. when you travel overland. And there's been some overland countries that have been much more difficult and scarier crossing, like yeah. between Kenya and Tanzania, for instance. That's a crazy one.
Yeah, actually, I've done Kenya to Tanzania, and we had to fly eight segments on to go an hour flight. If it was nonstop, it would have been 1 hour. We did eight segments. It was like a milk run. They just kept landing in different places to pick people up. I'm like, what's going on?
I did that once too.
They weren't even scheduled.
I know. I did that too. My last trip to Tanzania, actually, I was trying to get back from where I was to get back to catch a flight, and took, I think it was a similar thing. I think it took 7 or 8 stops to do what would have been a 1 hour direct flight.
Yeah. You might've been on the same flight with me. One of them, we had a divert at the last second. We were about to touch down. There was a cow on the field or some animal. Wow. They said some animal. Anyway, is there any place you have no desire to go to?
One you just mentioned, actually. Out of all the places, I always say that there's never been a place I didn't like, but there's one. It's Macau. You see, mentioned Macau. I thought Macau was, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. That was the only country I would say that I didn't enjoy and that I probably wouldn't want to go back. It seemed like it was like a dirtier, poorer version of Vegas.
I mean, it is, but actually, I like Macau. My wife doesn't like it either, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I like the culture of, I didn't just hang out in the casino. I did some tours out on the outside, but
I never liked Macau because I was there for a very short time to speak at a conference, but my whole experience, even getting out there, all those ferries getting out, it's
right.
I just thought it was, but no, I think that I can find, and Macau's just an odd little setup to what it is. It's kind of it's set up as an entertainment place, but there's no place that I would, any other place that I wouldn't, want to go back. I find beauty in just about anywhere.
Yep. Me too. How about, do you have a favorite US airport?
Yes, actually. I think Portland's a good one.
Yep.
I think that, believe it or not, I'm going to say this and I'm probably going to get heat. Have you been to LaGuardia lately?
I knew you were going to say LaGuardia.
The new changes of LaGuardia. So LaGuardia, people complain about a lot.
Right.
But it's so simple and easy and fast and efficient. And with the recent improvements, I'm going to say that I think the recent improvements, I was worried that they were going to take away the ease and the simplicity of LaGuardia right. with the changes, but they've done a really great job.
You're not the first one to say it, actually. I have not been since they've redid it. I haven't been in the last 8 months, probably.
Yeah, Seattle's not bad, too. Seattle, SeaTac is pretty good, too.
Yeah. How about international? Favorite airport?
I think the Dutch, German, Swiss, they've got it nailed. So efficient, intuitive, easy. They're the best airports. I think they're the gold standard.
And how about Changi or Hong Kong? I think the Asians do better.
I think Hong Kong's just too big. It actually is a great airport as well, but it's massive and it's not as intuitive, I don't think. I mean, the Germans and the Swiss are so efficient and the Dutch are so efficient in the airports.
Right.
The way they have the star designed so you can, everything's like spoked. It's like a spoke hub kind of design. It makes it so easy and intuitive to find things. And I just think it's...
Favorite airport lounge?
It's funny. I've never been asked these questions before, but I have an answer for every single one of them. Maybe me and you are the only ones to think about this thing. It's going to be Turkish Airlines in Istanbul. It is amazing. Yeah. Or Air New Zealand in Auckland. Those are the two best. Yeah. By far.
Yep. Yeah. Are you an av geek at all? Do you care about what plane you're on or?
No, no. I look at it. I mean, life, if I have an opportunity for lie flat, if I'm going on long flights and, some flights, depending on the size of the planes or,
right.
If that's an option, I look at planes to make sure I get the best, seats. And, Air New Zealand has done a great job with, turning kind of premium economy into a bit more of a relaxing experience.
Yep.
So I look at it more so for the experience, not the actual pl- plane. Now, I'm not much of a geek.
Oh, gotcha. Have you ever sat next to any celebrities?
Yeah, many. But, you know, I'll tell you, I got a funny story. I was sitting beside a young girl traveling by herself, and she started throwing up. So I called the attendant and I said, you know, this girl is sick. And she said, okay, I'm going to go tell the parents. And she went to the front and she talked to the parents. She came back to the girl. She goes, okay, your father's going to switch seats with you now. And it was the middle seat. So I'm at the window, and this was the middle seat right beside me. There was someone there. And they grabbed the girl and put her up to the front, and the father came back. And who's the father? Brian Adams. So Brian Adams was flying. Yeah.
And was this in Canada?
It was in Canada, actually. I don't remember what flight it was, but it was definitely in Canada. But
yeah, he's Canadian.
Brian Adams. And yeah, he is.
Nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really talk to people like that. I don't really bother people
I talk to almost everybody I'm sitting next to, but I do.
I don't, but my biggest celebrity moment. Well, I sit beside, you see, I'm a basketball fan. Like, I sit actually beside the celebrity seats at courtside at a basketball game. So there's people next to me all the time, whether Kanye West, Jessica Alba, all these different people. But my biggest story was years ago. This is back in the 90s, going back. I was at a gym running on a treadmill. And next thing I know, I feel this presence beside me that's enormous. And I look beside me, and jogging on the treadmill right beside me was Michael Jordan.
Wow.
That was one of my biggest, as a basketball fan, that was my biggest moment. And I still didn't talk to him. Yeah. I just ran faster.
I've talked to him a couple of times in a hotel. We were passing each other at the Kentucky Derby. We all stayed at the Gold House. And I was like, Michael, what's up? And he gave me like a high five. And then I saw him another time. I said, can we get a picture? He's like, no. I was
like, damn. Oh yeah, I'm not done. I gotta take some lessons from you about talking to people like that, because I do run into people a lot, but I never have anything to say. I mean, I say, you know, but I say hello, but
yeah. I can understand talk. These guys, especially someone like Michael Jordan, who just gets hounded all the time. But
yeah.
Anyway, how about, what's your drink of choice when you're on the ground or in the air?
Carbonated water.
I just drink water.
I just drink water. Yeah, I don't get involved in drinking on planes. So I drink, just any Smart. Kind of, any kind of, any kind of water. But my preference is for any kind of club soda or Perrier or San Pellegrino, whatever.
Gotcha.
And constant.
So is there, if you could go to any restaurant right now in the world, where would you go?
Oh boy. Right now, this instant, I'm gonna be easy and just say Nobu, New York, because I've been thinking about it recently, about when I can get to New York again. It's been on my mind, and when I can get to Nobu in New York. But
you get good sushi in Toronto.
Yeah, but Nobu is a whole thing. Like, it usually involves a theater show too, and the Nobu kind of, and in New York, it's not the food actually.
Right.
Ledbury in the UK, like Ledbury's. I don't know if anyone there. That's it. Used to be a kind of a bigger kind of, but I don't, I'm not a big foodie. Gotcha. I love good food, but I'm not, I don't, you know, travel going to the best restaurants.
So what's the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
Well, I guess you're implying, like, I've guinea pig, I've tarantula, Peru, you know, those, you know, you go in the Amazon, they have those ants that taste like lemon. They truly do.
I haven't had that.
Yeah. Tarantula. Like, you must have tarantula.
No, you've eaten a tarantula?
Yeah, cooked is quite good.
Like chicken?
No, not chicken. No. There's chocolate covered grasshoppers. Have you had that?
I've had that.
Yeah.
In Canada.
Oh, wow. No, that was in Asia somewhere too. I think it was.
I just remembered that when I was a kid. My parents were friends with a family that had a huge, like, German grocery store in Hamilton, I think it is. It's still there.
Uh-huh.
And they sell all kinds of stuff like that, chocolate covered ants.
Ooh.
But yeah, tarantula. Yeah. I mean, that would.
All the things that I ate, it was a novelty thing. Like, I wasn't having it as a meal. Well, the guinea pig, I guess, was actually a meal. But, you know, you go on these little tours, and they tell you, you know, one of the local kind of indigenous guides kind of says, you know, these ants taste like lemon, and so people, the tarantula was also. It was on a street tour of street food and different things, and and everyone took a try. But I mean, it's all been kind of a novelty thing as opposed to actually.
It's part of the whole travel experience.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure. Do you have a favorite hotel?
Boy, these are very good questions. I would say, you know, I do have, you know, there's one hotel that no matter where that I've been staying in for over 30 years, and that is the Paddington Hilton. This is going to sound boring.
In England?
In England, yeah, in London. Because it's connected to, it's because of ease and out. So no matter when, and anytime I go to London, I stay in the Paddington Hilton, and I have been for over 25 years because it's connected to the speed rail that comes in, you know, the Paddington rail that goes from the airport, the express, the Paddington Express, it's called. It's a direct to the airport. And it makes everything in and out of London so easy. So actually, at one point, I actually moved our office to London into Paddington. It's not there anymore, but just for ease of me going in and out of London, arriving, that Paddington Express is incredibly fast and efficient.
Heathrow Express.
The Heathrow Express, right.
Yeah.
And it drops you right at the door of Paddington. And the hotel isn't glamorous. It isn't great. It's
gotcha. No, I mean, I've done so that easy. Drain many times. I didn't know there was a Hilton next to it.
Yeah, it's attached to it. Wow. And it's right underground, right to it. So when I arrive, I'm tired. I just want to, and you can have someone pick you up. And so many times I've had, you know, drivers pick you up at the airport or a taxi, and it takes so long to get into town, you know, right. get into London and find a hotel.
100% agree with you on that. It's a smart move.
Yeah.
How about best hotel view?
Best hotel view? Gosh, I'm going to go with one of there's a lot of, it's definitely in Bangkok. I don't know which hotel, but Bangkok has some of the greatest sky bars, right? That are on top of hotels that overlook the city. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of them. The Peninsula
Hotels. I love Bangkok.
I mean, the Peninsula Hotels are the best. I mean, with views and locations and in Asia,
right.
I think the Peninsulas are fantastic.
Actually, the Peninsula of Bangkok and Tokyo both have live webcams. So actually, that's how I've been getting my travel fixed during this quarantine. So there's actually a channel on YouTube called Earth TV, and every 15 seconds, it changes views. And they show the weather. But one of them is, actually two of them are peninsulas from, again, from Bangkok and Tokyo.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Bangkok Peninsula and the Tokyo, I've been to the Peninsula in Tokyo too. Those are great views and great hotels.
Yeah.
Fantastic hotels.
Love them. How about favorite island and beach?
Barbados. Yeah, I love Barbados. There, I go there a couple times a year, sometimes three times a year. Love the beaches, love the islands. A very unique, beautiful place.
Safe, people are nice.
Safe, people are nice. Quiet enough and a little bit of, it's like, because some islands are like Anguilla and Cayman are super dead.
Yeah.
And I can take that for only so long, but there's just enough things to do, activities, and still great food, restaurants, and great beaches.
I mean, the sunsets are insane in Barbados.
Yeah.
So Barbados. Actually, I was thinking about taking Barbados up on their new offer that they're offering people right now. I don't know if you saw that, but you can work. You can live there for a year and work remotely.
Yes. I did see that. That was a brilliant move, actually.
Totally.
Because you're probably about the third or fourth person who's told me they're seriously considering that. Because we're all forced into this work from home kind of environment, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big trend.
We're realizing we can be anywhere.
Yeah. I know a lot of hotels are now setting up like classrooms in the room, or at least a desk, and be able to hook up your computer to the TV so the kids can remote learn. And then in the afternoon, go to a museum that's local or whatever, do some kind of experience.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. How about, which credit card do you use when you travel?
Well, I like to use American Express, but I always have to, but it's
Platinum? Not.
Yes, I have.
To get into the clubs?
I have a steel. I have a black American
what?
Express, actually. I know.
This doesn't mess around, everybody. Can I have that credit card number and the expiration date?
And but you always have to have a Visa, too, because, I mean, American Express are, there's some areas that they just have not done good deals for distribution. But so you always have to have a Visa with you, too.
For sure. I carry.
And mine's my visa's attached to airline points. So.
Yep. Good job. Since you are, you know, into adventure travel, do you think one country does a better job than the other? Who do you think best in adventure travel?
Well, I think the countries that actually do, take their wildlife and natural heritage and preserve it are the best countries. So, like Costa Rica has done an amazing job with how they preserve their wilderness and made it a real priority to their consumer message or their tourism message. New Zealand, the 100% Pure campaign, and New Zealand is an amazing country that has done an amazing job branding itself a certain way and really, really keeping control of their, tourism and natural assets of the country.
For sure.
But Australia is amazing. For Thailand is fantastic too. Those are all great adventure countries.
And besides your own, what do you think is the best sightseeing excursion or tour that you've ever done? Is there one of my favorites is doing a progressive dinner in the Cook Islands where I had an appetizer at someone's home. And then I went to another home for the meal and then another home for dessert. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That sounds amazing. I think the best day trip in the world though is, the whitewater rafting down the Zambezi outside of Victoria Falls. I mean, that is an incredible, what you get from that experience in one day is incredible, high adrenaline adventure, but it's also, you're out in the wilderness. You see Zimbabwe in a very different way. There's communities along the way. I always say that that's the best day trip you can do. I mean, there's certainly other places that have great things to do during the day, but right. I always think that that was one of the.
And does best. That end at like the Devil's Falls?
There's different routes you can take, and it also changes based on the level of water.
Right.
But I mean, it's always and it's very safe too, and it's very active, and anyone can do it. And the rafting guides, there's a whole rafting kind of culture that's there, so there's quite a few companies that do it. But it's a fantastic day trip. Just one full day, pick you up in the morning, drop you off, lunch on the river. It's great.
Cool. I have several more, just a few more questions. What's your favorite travel movie?
Oh boy. Travel movie.
Could be anything. Indiana Jones, Crocodile Dundee.
Oh gosh. I don't think I want to say Baraka. Do you know Baraka?
No.
Oh my goodness. Johnny Jet. You do not know Baraka?
How do you
spell it? You have to. I don't even know. Baraka. This was a movie that was done, I think, in the 70s or maybe early 80s. And it's just a travel movie. There's no talking and there's no script. And if you ever see it at a theater, in LA especially, Baraka will play a few times a year in a theater.
There's a 1992 called Baraka, documentary war.
No. That's not it.
Okay. I'm looking. Baraka. I'm gonna do a blog post on this interview, and I'm gonna send it to you to make sure everything's correct, and you can fill it in.
Baraka, Baraka. Is that how you're spelling it?
Yeah, that's how I spelled it on Google. It was 1992 documentary.
Okay.
But again, just
Okay. So I see there is two Barakas. I'm looking at it as well. But Baraka, you have to see Baraka.
Okay.
And you have to actually probably see it as soon as you get off this call, because it is the best travel movie. It was filmed it's much older. I don't even know the year Baraka actually came, but in every city in the world, or big city anyways, Baraka will play a few times a year in some alternative theater, and there's no script, no people. It's just filming. It's probably a bit old. It's a bit old now, but just the stuff that was, if you actually Google again, Baraka travel movie, you'll see it.
Okay. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do this post. So what's your favorite travel TV show?
I would have to say it was Anthony Bourdain. It's the only one that I ever really watch. I don't really get a thrill out of, I get annoyed watching travel shows. To be honest.
That's what we want. We want you to be honest.
Cause I find that,
is there one that bothers you more than the other? Who pisses you off when you turn that channel late at night? You're like,
the one that really bothers me is that this show, The Amazing Race.
Okay.
when people are running through the countries and they kind of trying to play off people's kind of ignorance of travel. And there's sometimes a little, I think, culturally inappropriate sometimes with some of the stuff that they do. So
I've only watched once.
I understand that the game show side of it, and I'm trying not to be a downer about it, but because it's entertaining to watch these people bumble through countries, and you know, and there are people from like all walks of life, and suddenly they find themselves in the most remote, challenging situation. So that's, but they really play off the lack of travel kind of experience or knowledge, and certain things just trigger me because I'm in the industry, and I'll just notice that I'm watching it entertainment wise, and then how they speak to someone or how they treat people or something, I just really. So that kind of aggravates me. But you know, I hear that this new Zac Efron has a new show. I heard it's really good.
I've heard mixed reviews on that, actually.
Oh, really?
And he doesn't live that far from me. Yet.
But you know, Mark Burnett did Eco Challenge. That's a good travel show that I like. When he did the original series of Eco Challenge, I liked that a lot.
Yep.
I thought that was really good.
How about favorite travel book? Do you read a lot?
Yes. I do. I mean, less travel books. I mean, I used to read a lot of travel books, but I don't as much anymore. But
now that you can use your phone on the plane before takeoff and everything, you know, I think most people stopped reading.
I Dreamed of Africa is probably my favorite travel book, though. I Dreamed of Africa. It's Cookie Gallman wrote that, I think, as well. It's a young Italian girl whose family moved to Africa, and she wrote this beautiful book about her experience growing up in Africa at a very, and it's a real reality.
What was the name of it?
I Dreamed of Africa.
I Dreamed of Africa. Okay, yeah. Cool. I'll make this blog post. I'll link it so that people can find it all.
It's an older book, but it's a great book.
Four more questions. Worst travel moment.
The worst travel moment is probably, I haven't had very many bad travel moments, I got in a fight once. Someone tried to steal my camera, and it was in a crowd. I felt someone tugging and trying to cut the, and it ended up in a bit of a scuffle. And
where were you?
I was in Peru. I was in Peru at the time, and it was. But the person was much smaller than me, so it was very one-sided. But it was just a scuffle, and that was just a bad kind of experience because it was after a very good day. I had one of those very good days. It was on a train platform, and it was crowded, and I just felt the tugging. I looked down, and there was this little guy kind of trying to cut the strap of my camera, take my camera, and I
just give him one blow, and he went out.
Yeah, yes. It turned out to be like rolling around, scuffling, and there were so many people. Everyone moved out of the way, and it was just a big.
People try and help you?
No. Oh God, no. No one is going to help me there.
That's unfortunate.
And there's another one actually. I got to tell you about. In Loop Tail in my book, I talk about how I got arrested in Burma. That was also quite a travel story.
Why'd you get arrested?
Because Burma was closed at the time, and I went in because people thought I looked like a Thai national, so I snuck in, and on my way out, I got arrested, and I actually escaped prison.
Oh my!
Believe it or not. Yes. So
do you have Thai heritage?
No, I don't. Okay. But I have mixed heritage, and but when I'm in Thailand, everyone thinks I'm Thai. So I decided I'll use that to my advantage and cross the border. Walked across the border from Chiang Rai into.
I've done that border crossing before.
Burma, and I went there for a few days. I did have an amazing time. This is early '90s, like '91 or '90, and. Yeah, on my way out, someone asked me a question, and I kept walking, and I was literally, it was like a bad movie. I was within feet, and I started to run, and someone tackled me, and I got arrested. Yeah, sentenced to 7 years in Rangoon prison.
What? The border. How long?
7 years. There was a little trial for me on the border, and I was sentenced to 7 years in to go to Rangoon, 7 years in prison, and I escaped. You'll have to read Loop Tail to find out how I escaped prison.
Go to Burma these days or Myanmar?
I haven't. You know what? This is so long ago that there would be no way that they could have possibly tracked that.
I wouldn't risk it. Let me just give you a little bit of advice. Do not risk it, okay?
I haven't been back.
Don't go back.
Okay.
As beautiful as it is, I wouldn't go back. All right. Yeah. What's the most embarrassing travel moment?
Embarrassing. I would say, well, okay, so we do a lot of community work, and quite often you meet these communities that are awfully excited to see you because your company and the work that we do benefits the company, so that it's almost you achieve like this kind of holier than thou status as you kind of enter the village. And this happened numerous times, but one time particularly was very bad, where, because they always prepare you food. And I don't risk food when it comes to traveling, and you never, you know, unless I can know where I'm eating and know what,
right.
And generally speaking, I actually only eat things that are deep fried or really well cooked when I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. I've actually never been sick traveling. And I want to keep that record because I'm very adamant about what I eat when I travel, because I don't want to get sick.
Right.
And this community.
Where was this?
This was in the in Peru. It was our women's weaving co-op, and they put this big spread of food, and it was all laid out. And I said to them when I came, and all the women were crying, and you know, so happy to see me because we'd done so much work for them, and then. And I just wanted to, and I told them that, you know, I always actually mention it that I don't want anything to drink or anything to eat because I don't want them to fuss, but they made this big spread of food. All the women from, you know, six different communities kind of brought food in. And I just said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat. And they started to have a reaction, and I think the way my guide kind of translated to them, he kind of said, we told you he does, you know, we told you he doesn't want anything to eat. And they all started crying. Did we offend him? Does he hate us?
Oh no. I usually tell people that I'm allergic. I'll say, listen, I'm allergic to that or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you go to like Mongolia and you're going to a yurt with a community and they give you yak butter tea or camel yogurt, it's a common thing just to welcome you. And you're just like, I'm not going to eat that, but I'm not even going to pretend.
How about in Fiji? You've been to Fiji?
Yeah.
You drink the kava?
No, no.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, I'm the most adventurous person, except for food.
Got okay. I drank so much kava. I'm like, I'm shocked that I didn't get sick, and I've done it many times, but anyway, I usually do eat the food, but I've been lucky.
I'll eat local food but at local places. But when it comes to like going out to remote villages or going out to, you know, communities and they're kind of cooking the food. I don't know where they've cooked the food or where the food has come from.
Well, it's smart. I mean, you're definitely smarter than I am, first of all. But it's a good tip, you know, especially
when I'm remote traveling, anyone, it's boiled noodles, chicken fried rice, or anything deep fried. And I eat that every day.
Okay.
It's kind of my rule. When I'm traveling, like if you're going like overland from, you know, into Tibet, into Lhasa, whatever, and there's all kinds of random places and meals and places to stop that are so remote. I don't know. And, you know, there's just,
I mean,
no
that should be a selling point of one of your tours. Say, listen, you're not going to eat anything that's going to get you sick. Well, excuse
me. No, some people have, you know, I know people that, you know, food is a big part of people's travel and they want to experiment. Right. They're adventurous. They try stuff. I've just very early on made a commitment that, I just don't risk food.
I'm
I
with
just
you.
Don't take risks there.
All right, three questions left. What's your dream destination?
My dream destination is the Trans-Siberian. To go from, you know, Beijing to Moscow, or even you can continue down to Paris if you'd like, by train. And I'd like to be able to do that in the winter to see all those minority tribes in Siberia. And you know, all those crazy photos you see of people, you know, dressed in like animal furs, like thrown all, you know, I would love to do that. And I need more time. So I've always said that that's a retirement plan for me because I don't want to rush it.
Right.
And I'm able to stop and see there's so many minority tribes. Once you leave Northern China, Mongolia, Siberia, Russia, there's amazing, amazing communities there. And I'd like to do that, but I don't have the time. I'd like to take a couple months and do something like that.
Gotcha.
That'd be a dream. Yeah.
It does sound amazing. I don't know about the winter time though. What's the most important thing travel has taught you?
Probably just, you know, my place in the universe. I think once you get out and meet other people in other communities and understand how other communities live, understand how other, you know, religions, and it not only brings, you know, people would say tolerance, but it gives you a greater appreciation of where you come from when you know how other people live, because we're all sharing the same, you know, pale blue dot. And when you have a better understanding of where you come from travel gives you that gift. And when you learn, you know, who your neighbors are you're sharing this planet with, I think it just, it helps you understand your place in the universe. And I think that's the greatest gift that you can get from travel.
Agreed. Yeah. My last question, and before you tell me what your best travel tip is, how can people find you?
They can find me on social media. I'm on Twitter, but just my name, Bruce Poontip, on Twitter or Instagram. I'm not on Facebook, which is weird, I know. Or you can go to gadventures.com, gadventures.com, if you want to book a trip, because it's all about getting people on our trips. You know that, Johnny?
I do know that. But I am surprised you're not on Facebook, because Facebook is a great way to connect with people you meet along the road, along the way. And I have friends around the world because of that, because, you know, you have, you sit next to someone, or even just friends that you've met.
It's so consuming of time, though.
I'm
so sensitive about time, and I'm scared of Facebook. I'll be frank with you, because I just see how it sucks people.
It does suck people in, and you don't want to do it these days with Americans with the election coming up, because I mean, families are just breaking up and people are unfriending people. I mean, I put crazy stuff on my personal Facebook page that pisses people off.
Yeah. I know that. I know a lot of that goes on too, that how Facebook also divides people.
Totally.
Sometimes especially with this political division that's happening all over the world,
right?
Like this all populism kind of movement that's going on. So, yeah, it's always been a time thing. Like, I mean, I'm very precious with my time.
You're smart. Listen, yeah. I had to delete Spider Solitaire from my laptop because that's what I was playing on the planes instead of working. I might have to delete the Facebook app now.
Wow.
All right. My last question. What's your best travel tip?
Never leave a country without having a meal with a local person.
With a what?
A local person.
Okay.
Never leave a country unless you have a meal with a local person. Find somebody locally and have lunch, have a drink. You don't even have to speak the same language, but too many people go and come out of a country and never meet a local person to have a conversation.
Just make sure it's deep fried.
Yeah, or noodles. Boiled noodle soup. No, hang on a second. When I'm in restaurants and in towns and in cities, yes, I love eating in good places and in restaurants and stuff. But I'm talking about those restrictions are when, because I spend a lot of time in just small remote places.
Right.
Food becomes risky and I just don't take chances.
I'm just giving you a hard time. You know that. Well, Bruce, I really appreciate you taking the time today and thanks for coming on. And if anyone's new, please subscribe to this channel, this podcast. And also check out G Adventures and go on a tour. Actually, my last question for G Adventures, is there an age limit or is it just a younger generation?
No, it's not. We do National Geographic Journeys. We have 11 brands of tours for every age. We have an 18 to 30 something for young. Okay.
Did it start out with just like millennials or something?
It didn't, you know, we've always had that because we used to be called Gap Adventures. So people linked us in with Gap That's Year why. Travel. They thought it was Gap Year Travel. Our average age has always been in the 30s.
Okay.
Our core market is 30 to 50, but we have National Geographic Journeys. We have all kinds of trips for over 50s. We have expedition trips to Antarctica, which our average age, I think, is 68. So
that's good to know. I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking it.
All right, Bruce, take care. And
thank you.
Good luck to the Raptors, except when they play the Lakers.
And when you come to Toronto, come and see me. Or let's go to a basketball game. Whenever we can travel again.
That'd be great.
We've locked off Americans at the moment, but it will.
I don't blame you. That's one of my big problems with our country. We just completely mishandled this COVID-19 pandemic. I wish we were in Canada. My wife's Canadian. We thought about it. And, you know, who knows? We might even be in Canada, depending on what happens in November.
Okay. Good luck and stay safe. Good to see you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.